Please be seated. Ascension gets short shrift these days. It's still a day when Roman Catholics are expected to attend Mass, but the rest of the Church seems to lose sight of this day. Yet it is an essential part of the story of Christ and his Church. Our reading from the book of Acts sets the scene for the rest of the book. Written by the same writer as St. Luke's Gospel, it moves from the works of Jesus to the work of the Holy Spirit in the Church. And that transition is marked by Jesus' ascension at the end of his life on earth. Artists struggle to represent the ascension. My favourite is this one on the screen in the Ascension Chapel at Walsingham in Norfolk, which follows an older idea of showing in art Jesus' feet disappearing into the clouds. If you look at the picture, you're below, you look up, that's supposed to be the clouds and Jesus' feet going through, because that's what the artist imagined the apostles saw. The next one, from Salvatore Dali, is a similar sort of idea, but perhaps less medieval. Clearly, ascension is harder to portray in art than resurrection or crucifixion. The text in Acts is about a brief goodbye, and then is more about the coming of the Holy Spirit for which the disciples were told to wait. They were between two worlds. They'd experienced the joy, amazement, and wonder of that first Easter, but now they have to wait for Pentecost, for the Holy Spirit who would drive them out into mission. Yet despite the briefness of the text, the Ascension made it into the classic creeds of the Church and is seen as an integral part of the story. I think that this is because the feast is an interesting juxtaposition of ideas. On the one hand, it's all about Jesus, his glorification, his return to the Father, his kingship, the end of his mission on earth. But on the other hand, it's all about us. Jesus is no longer here to do his work, so we have to. I'm reminded of the joke that as Jesus ascended into the clouds, the angels hailed him and said, "Welcome, your majesty. How will you be continuing your work on earth now?" Jesus greeted them and pointed through the clouds at the little band of followers who were staring up. The angels looked up with horror and asked if there was a plan B. There isn't. It's up to us. The strange but very biblical tale of Jesus' ascension seems to be one of going away so that he can be more present, absent so that he can reign, present with God, so present to many. Jesus, the particular human being, has to go so that the Holy Spirit can be given and shared beyond one person, one people, one place, one time, or one culture. Again, we notice that the Spirit, so active and present in and around Jesus' birth, his teaching and healing throughout the Gospel of Luke, is already being queued up as the main character in the Acts of the Apostles. No surprising that some people call it the Gospel or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It may be fruitful to think about what the Holy Spirit does in each of Luke's books. In the Gospel, the Spirit is active in the births of Jesus and John the Baptizer, in the lives of Anna, Simeon, Zechariah and company. John announces that Jesus will baptize people in the Spirit, who descends dove-like on Jesus, inspiring and empowering his ministry. Jesus' healings, exorcisms, and teachings are all enabled by that same source. In his first sermon in Nazareth synagogue, Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." The same Spirit is given to us. The same Spirit who brings good news to the poor, who proclaims release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, the same Spirit who lets the oppressed run free. For now, in Acts, a community awaits the gift of that same Spirit, not on or in Jesus individually, but spilling out to the people who bear his name, so that they would become a living testimony and witness to the work of the Holy Spirit, God's loving kindness in the world. So this ascension, we have to ask, what now? There is no plan B. Christ's work is up to us with all our faults and frailties. Still depending on God and God's sovereignty, to be sure, but the work is up to us. Over the next week, ask yourselves, what now for you in your Christian life? Ask yourself, what now for our church as we seek to be renewed by God's Holy Spirit? How does that Holy Spirit of love and liberation make a difference to your life? And how does that difference get proclaimed to others? For some of us, it's an assurance of forgiveness and resurrection. For others, it's about being compelled to love and serve as Christ served. For others, it's about finding a spirituality which affirms life and connects us with God. Maybe it's a bit of all of this for all of us. But if our world is to hear of God's loving kindness, then it's up to us and those who follow Jesus. But don't feel despondent, because ascension has other messages too. First, we know there is one with God who knows what human life is like, one with God who came into that hole and helped us out. Not just with sympathy, but with empathy that comes from deep knowledge. Jesus' first-hand experience of suffering and pain. He knows what it is to be human. Jesus knows us, prays for us, and perfects our own prayers. Jesus knows our weakness, our failure, and our reluctance to proclaim our faith in our lives. Second, the ascension is a guarantee and witness of our own bodily resurrection at the end of time. This is another truth that Christians like to forget. We're tempted to think of life after death as a sort of cloudy heaven, like that old Philadelphia cheese advert. Yet the biblical witness is that we live, we die, we sleep, and then we are raised. Jesus' resurrection and ascension is the guarantee and witness of that. As our reading from the letter to the Ephesians reminds us, Jesus rules over all things in the universe. In him we trust for our future and the future of our church. Third, ascension is the prelude to Pentecost, where the church is born from the action of the Holy Spirit. This is the turning point. It is over to us. Will you pray with me? Christ, our lover, to whom we try to cling, as you have reached into our depths and drawn us to love you, so make us open, freely to let you go, that you may return in unexpected power to change the world through us, in your name. Amen.